Romans chapter 2. I'm going to read 4 verses this morning out of the book of Romans, and I'm going to read 1 verse out of Romans 2, 1 verse out of Romans 5, 1 verse out of Romans 8, and 1 verse out of Romans 12. And so you won't have to stand, but I want you to read these, and I'll let you so you can turn your pages. I want us to look at Romans chapter 2, or chapter 2 in verse number 1. What's that first word? Therefore, that's what I'm preaching on. Therefore. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. Now in Romans chapter 5, please, and verse number 1. Romans 5 and verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now let's pray. Father, as we bow our unworthy heads before the holy God, I pray today, Lord, that you'll touch every single heart in this building. And may what we say today not be in vain. May it not be a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. But Lord, may it find a lodging place in the hearts of these, our people. Lord, I pray today, if there's one that's discouraged, that you'll encourage their heart by the Word of God. Lord, if there's one that's out of the will of God and cold and indifferent, I pray you'd speak to their heart as well. And then especially, Lord, if there's one in our midst today that's saved, Lord, and knows that they're saved and born again, I pray, God, you bless their heart. Lord, stir their soul. And then, Lord, that whatever you do, I pray, God, you'd speak specifically to that and that does not know you. Lord, that's lost and undone and on their way to hell. I pray, God, you'd open their understanding, their blind eyes, and help them to see the truth of the Lord Jesus. And Father, may they call upon your name this day, or they may be on the church book. They may have gone through baptism and claiming baptism. They may have some good works. They may read their Bible from time to time. Lord, there's some things in their life that may look Christ-like. But Lord, if we're not saved, I pray God you'd wake them up today. We'll give you the praise and the glory for what you're going to accomplish. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now go with me to chapter 2 and verse number 1. That word therefore is mentioned many, many more times in the book of Romans than just 4 times. Matter of fact, I'll mention some more as we go just by the Word of God looking at it. But that word therefore this morning is a word I want to mention. And here's what it means. It means according to several things I've jotted down here that will tell you what the word therefore means. According to, or the phrase because of, or such in this case, or for that reason, on this ground, on this basis, or Paul is saying, on account of this, or on the basis of this fact, or in conclusion of, and it just keeps it going. And what he's saying in therefore, it's joining and saying something about a previous statement or a previous set of scriptures. The therefore in chapter number 2 is speaking about chapter 1. Therefore, when you read chapter 1 of the book of Romans, and I said this in Sunday school, you read the book of Romans chapter 1, and you get mad and irritated to the world, brother, it puts you in the wrong direction. It should bring you to your knees, because we see how ungodly and unholy that a world has become, and how we ought to be praying for that in this nearest hell. Brother, when I read chapter 1, I think about how could men get so cold and so far away from God that he'd be so full of sin that his mind would even be changed and warped, that he can't even think straight. Brother, it bothers me and it troubles my heart, and it brings me to my knees, because I believe I've met many people that are walking in the same shoes that these were in the book of Romans chapter 1. I pass and repass, rub shoulders with people today that are so far out as these were in chapter 1. Paul, brothers, describing the modern day to you and me. And it was in his day as well as it is today. Amen. Now look at that. So Paul's saying, therefore. And he's looking at this in chapter number 2 in verse 1. Thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. And I like that scripture. Thou art inexcusable, O man. Somebody said, what happens to a man or woman that does not give their heart and life to the Lord Jesus? It's as simple as it can be said today that that man or woman goes to hell. Amen. No way that you can get to heaven but through Jesus Christ. We've established that down through the course of years. You know that by now. You can't get in by your own good works. In chapter 10 of the book of John, he said, you climb up any other way, you're the same as a thief and a robber. You can't get there that way. You try to go by good works, it won't work. Amen. You try to go by tithing, it won't go. You try to take it by baptism, it won't go. It won't work. So God says, thou art inexcusable, O man. You said that if they don't hear the gospel, they will not get saved. I want you to know God said that He's inexcusable. Man is inexcusable. God has put some ways in this world that we can know whether we're saved or not. Amen. Brother, He's given us all these things, and I thank God for it. Now, I want you to look at this. I want to talk about Romans chapter 2 and verse number 1. Write this in your notes. This is the therefore of condemnation. The therefore of condemnation. Somebody said, when I stand before God, I'll be condemned. The Bible said, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're already condemned. You're already on your way to hell. You won't be when you get there. Man is depraved. Man is degenerate. Man is doomed to the devil's hell without God. There's no excuse with him. And God said, when you stand before me, I don't care what family you come from, what country you come from, when you stand before me, I want you to know that you are inexcusable. Somebody said, he didn't hear the gospel, didn't go to church. Look with me, please, in chapter number 1 of the book of Romans and verse 19. The Bible said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. God has already showed them. Look at verse 20, for the invisible things. What's that? Creation. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? Without excuse. God said every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth are without excuse by looking at the creation. God said, I put it out in front of you. Anybody ought to have sense enough to know, and I want to tell you, being truthful with you, that there is a God by what we see. Even the pagans, the heathen. Somebody said, who's the heathen? Amen. You ever look in the mirror every once in a while? Amen. Maybe what you see. You hear me? Now listen, the heathen back yonder, the pagans back yonder, guess what they did? Brother, when they come in the world, brother, they looked at that most all of them had some sort of gods. They'd get them a medicine man. They'd get them somebody in the middle. And they worshipped all sort of things. They worshipped anything and everything, even when they did not know God. Why? Because they knew there was a supreme being somewhere. This world did not get here by itself. Amen. Despite what this world tries to teach you. Amen. Amen. Somebody said it was kind of just a blocked in and hopped out. Amen. I want you to know. And man manufactured himself. He didn't do it. He didn't evolve. Amen. He was created. Now, look what the Bible says in the book of Psalms. Take your Bible to the book of Psalms chapter 19. showing you what God said. We're talking about the therefore of condemnation. We've got the therefore of condemnation. Brother, man is condemned. He comes in this world as a sinner, and if you don't get saved, he goes out as a sinner and goes to hell forever and forever. In Psalm chapter 19, verse number 1, I want to read four verses. Look here what he said. He said in chapter 19, Brother, God is preaching every day. God is preaching every day. Don't have to have a prophet. Don't have to have a preacher. But through the Word of God, God is preaching every single day. How's He preaching? In verse number 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. What's the glory? That's the presence of God. You see that? And he talked about the glory of God. That's the presence of God. God said, the heavens declare the glory. The sun coming up this morning when she rose, she said, God is still on the throne. By the side, by what you look at out here, the green grass and the birds are chirping. I heard them a chirping this morning. And all that you see out there, that they're saying, the creation saying, God is still on the throne. So the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. He said, you look up in the pretty blue sky and see the clouds come by. Brother, they're just showing God's handiwork. They said, hey, look here what God has done. That's what they're saying. Verse number 2. So we find here this morning that creation tells it. Then in verse number 2, God said, creation is a 24-hour preacher. He said here, day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. God said, day and night I preach, and I tell you there's a God. The stars in the night, brother, they tell you there's a God. The sun in the day, they tell you there's a God. Daylight tells you there's a God. Nighttime tells you there's a God. So it's a 24-hour preacher. Then in verse number 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now we find a multilingual preacher. It don't make no difference what language, whether you speak Spanish, English, French, German, or whatever it is. God said, the heavens declare my glory. Amen. They tell you that. You know there's a God from just that. Hey, it don't have to be in your language. You can look that up. Amen. And then he says in verse number 4, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. God said it's not only a 24-hour preacher, every day of the week a 24-7 preacher, but it's also a multilingual preacher in every language that man can see. But he also says it's an international preacher. Brother, it tells me from one side of the globe to the other that there is a God. And so in chapter number 2, therefore, there, amen, I want you to know that you have no excuse. Amen. You're without any kind of excuse whatsoever. And God said, I'll hold you accountable when you stand before me. Amen. Now, I want you to look at this. God has said in creation, not only does God give man a creation to get him to get his mind on God, but secondly, He gave him a conscience. We preached on the conscience the other day. And God puts in that conscience the right and the wrong. Brother, that's why little kids, you said, why you've got to teach them and train them. Sure, you have to teach them what's right and wrong. But a little kid had come in the world, and brother, it don't take him long. He hadn't come, he hadn't got to the knowledge of knowing what right and what wrong is, but he comes to some degree. You done told him to stay out of the cookie jar. When he gets your back turned, that's where he goes. And when he puts his hand in the cookie jar, he's always looking around to see if anybody's coming. You know what it is? God put a little conscience down in that kid to let him know that there's something right and wrong. And everybody's born with them. You've got one. Amen. It might be seared. It might be dead. It might be cold. But I want you to know you've got a conscience. And God put a conscience and He put creation. And by those two, brother, we can know that there's a God. So you're without excuse. Amen. And then on top of that, God give the law. In the Word of God, the law cannot save you. I can give you scripture after scripture that the law says it cannot. You cannot be saved by law. You cannot be saved by works. You cannot be saved by keeping the law. But the law brings, it's a schoolmaster that brings you to Christ. And if you didn't have the law, you wouldn't know where you're doing right or wrong. Amen. If I took the speed limit signs up out here off the road, no telling how many today would die by seeing just how many miles an hour they could go. They'd do the limit of their automobile because there'd be no law. But the law brings us under subjection. And the law tells us that we've come short of the glory of God. So we got the law. Then we had the prophets. The prophets came through and preached. And God said, I give you the creation. I give you a conscience. I give you the law. I give you the prophets. And you have not heard my prophets. You have not heard and obeyed my law. And then now we come in this day of grace. And God has given us the grace of God. Christ died on the cross for our sins. And guess what happened? Brother, He's given us preachers to preach the Word of God. And what are they preaching? He give us the gospel to preach unto men and women. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ you can have life and have it more abundantly. And guess what? He's given us the Word of God to guide it to our hearts, to show us faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And He's given us the Spirit of God to open our heart and open our eyes of understanding that we might understand. And brother, He's given us all that. So today you and I are without excuse. Chapter 2, verse 1. This is the therefore of condemnation. Amen. We'll see that. Now, chapter 1 of the book of Romans, and I'm fixing to preach on that pretty soon. But in chapter number 1, the Bible said in this, in chapter 1, and in verse number 24, wherefore God also gave them up. In verse number 26, it said, for this cause God gave them up. And in verse number 28, it said, God gave them over. Now, what happened? Somebody said, why would God give somebody up? Hey, I want to remind you that they gave Him up long before He gave them up. Amen. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge anymore. And God said, all right, you can go on having your way if you want to. I'll go ahead and tell you this. What did God do? Brother, God is trying to bring them to a place that they need to be brought to. What did God do? He done absolutely nothing. When it says God gave them up, it just simply means God did not do anything to intervene. He did not stop. God said, that's what you want. Go ahead and do it. You're going to bring condemnation to yourself. You're already condemned, and you're just going to bring judgment, and just go ahead and help yourself. You're going to destroy yourself if I just let you go. So when God give them up, that's what they do. And you go on to read that. Now, I don't have time to stay on these too long, so let's go over to chapter number 5 of the book of Romans. We've talked about that, the therefore of condemnation. All men are condemned. You're condemned to hell. Brother, I want you to know, when you get in this world, you're condemned. The only thing you can do about that is come to Jesus Christ, who can change you. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But in chapter number 5, in verse number 1, he said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk about the therefore of justification. What's the word justification? Just as if we'd not committed sin, come to the place that God, you know, imputes righteousness to you and me. God makes us holy. Somebody said they don't like that word holy. Amen. No, the devil don't either. But I want you to know, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. Brother, you need to be holy. You said, I'm not holy. You need to be holy. God said, be ye holy, for I'm holy. If we would strive after holiness like we ought to today, brother, this world would change. This world would take note. This world would be turned upside down. We're not going to change it till we get right with God. That's right. Now, I want you to look. Therefore. Now, what's that therefore? Because there's some things that we need to go back and look at in this chapter. And before this chapter, I mean. Go back to chapter number 3. Go back to chapter number 3. The chapter 3 of the book of Romans is that chapter that said all of sin tells us about that. We've all went our own way. The Bible said in chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. In verse number 23, he tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many have sinned? Amen. Does that include you? Yes, it does. Brother, that puts us in the place. Brother, we're condemned and we have to get something. We are sinners. We are all sinners. Amen. By choice. We're sinners by choice. Brother, we come in this world and we die and go to hell. You know what you're doing? You're dying and going to hell by choice. Amen. Because you did not make the right choice and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hell wasn't prepared for you anyhow. It's prepared for the devil and his angels according to the Word of God. But if you go there, you'll go as an intruder. But if you don't come to Jesus Christ and receive Him by grace through faith, I want you to know God will oblige you. And in hell, you'll lift your eyes like the rest of the inhabitants. All right. Look with me, please. In Romans chapter number 3 and verse 28... The Bible said, therefore, there's another one of them, therefore we conclude. What? since we're all sinners, since all of us have sinned, therefore we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. What's he say? The law. You can keep the law and still die and go to hell. But he said you can't keep those deeds, but you're justified by what? Faith, not the law. The law has not justified anybody. Nobody's ever been justified by the law, but they have been justified by faith. Amen. Faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ today will bring you into the fold and justify you. And God will wipe the slate clean. Brother, God will clean out that black heart and save your soul and make you a fit preacher to go to heaven. Thank God for that. The justification of God is real. Therefore, being justified by faith. Down a little bit further in that same chapter, it said, justified by the blood of Christ. And so we notice, as we look at this thing in chapter 3, now go to chapter number 4 of Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, go to verse number 16. He said, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to do that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now go down to verse number 20. Chapter 4 is talking about Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for what? Righteousness. Amen. Simply put today, Abraham believed God. Romans chapter 11. Abraham just plain out believed God. He didn't believe nobody else. He just believed God. In verse number 20, he said, he staggered not at the promise of God. Who didn't stagger? Abraham. He said, through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Why did he offer up Isaac? Because he had faith believing. In verse number 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed or given over to him for righteousness. God said he imputed that righteousness upon him. Why? Because he must believe God. That's what happened. That's what counts. Amen and amen. Now, in verse number 8 of chapter number 5, the Bible said, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Go down to verse 12 of chapter 5. Wherefore also by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. That's under that condemnation. But thank God that condemnation can be changed to justification. We're through the blood of Christ and by faith in Christ this morning. We're justified. Amen. Amen. Justified. What's that mean? It means my sins are gone. They've been put behind God's back. They've been cast away, thank God, in the depths of the sea. My sins are gone. As far as the east is from the west, they're gone. And God looks down on my record and you said, here comes an old sinner and he's going before God. God looks down and said, hey, what do you get? All I see is faith in Jesus Christ, and all I see is the blood of the Lamb. All I can see is somebody that's covered with the blood and he's justified. Justified. Thank God, I'm justified. That's the therefore of justification. That's what God sees when He sees an old sinner saved by grace like me. Amen. You said, I don't fit to be here. I'm not worthy to be here. I shouldn't be here. You say, I should be in hell without any kind of hope whatsoever. I say, amen. I say, amen. I say, amen again. But I want you to know, thank God, God looks down and He don't see me. He sees Christ in me. And thank God, by that He said, He's justified. That's one of mine. That's the therefore of justification. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I'd like to preach on these all this morning a little bit more. But let's go back and get these others. I want to see four of them. The third one, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? Spirit. Now if you're walking after the flesh, you're in trouble. But if you're walking after the Spirit of God, that means you're at least looking like you're part of the family of God, whether you are or not. Amen. Anybody walking out the flesh this morning is looking like somebody that don't belong to God. Yes, sir. Now you might be saved, now the will of God. But I'll tell you right now, God's people walk in the Spirit. That's at least where they're supposed to walk. Many times we walk in the flesh, contrary to the will of God. Amen. Now, we're looking at this therefore. This is the third one. What we call this? Preacher, what we call that one? We call the first one the therefore of condemnation. We call the second one the therefore of justification. Now, what are we going to call this one? We're going to call it just like it is in the Scripture. It's going to be the therefore of no condemnation. Amen. The therefore of no condemnation. That's what I like. Amen. You know what they said to the woman in John chapter 8? They said, look, Master, here's one, she's been taken in the very act of adultery. They picked up stones, fixed the stoner, and the Lord comes on the scene. He looks at her, and He said, woman, where is thine accusers? She said, Lord, I have none. He said, neither do I. Neither do I. Say it. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Yeah, guess what? Brother, he dismissed it and took the condemnation away. When the Lord looks down on me and the devil said he's a sorry sinner, He brings up in my past and shows me. And brother, many times He does, brings up my past and said, this is what you done back yonder. Here's what you said a year or two ago. Here's what you said way back down yonder. I want you to know, thank God, God looks over at that and He said, hey, he's justified. Neither do I condemn him. The condemnation's gone. Thank God. I've been set free. I'm not condemned. Amen. I'm in Him and He's in me. I like that, if you will, what it says down here in verse 1. I believe it is. Who walk not after the flesh, but after verse 2. No, it's in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are, next three words, in Christ Jesus. Verse number 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You see that? Praise God. I want you to know I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. What does that mean? Brother, you ever took a sponge? You ever put a sponge down in water? Amen. That old sponge will start soaking it up. You pull it out, the water will run off of it. Amen. But you know what? That sponge is in your hand. It's a lot heavier than it was when you put it in the water. And if you reach over and just squeeze it real good, water run out. You know what happened? That sponge was in the water, but the water got in the sponge. And brother, that's what happened when I got in Christ. He got in me. And brother, I'll tell you what, I want to drip off on the world. Brother, the grace of God, I want you to know the water of life is in me. I've been sponged up and filled up, and I want to go out and tell the world, brother, that Jesus Christ saved me by His grace. I'm not condemned, so therefore of no condemnation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not condemned. Not condemned anymore. Oh, I was condemned to hell. I was condemned as a sinner. But I'm not condemned anymore. Amen and amen. And I praise God for it. I've been emancipated. Amen. Amen. I've been set free. I've been loosed out of the prison bars. I've been turned loose like a bird. Brother, I want you to know Christ has got His will in me, and thank God for that. I praise His name for it. I've been released. And you can go on down through the Word of God, and it talks about in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Then He goes on talking about dwelling you in verse 9 in the middle of that. And He said, he that hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. Brother, He talks about it. We just read that. 8th chapter, when you get an 8th chapter, probably more sermons been preached off of Romans chapter 8 than any chapter of the book of Romans. It seems to be a favorite of everybody. But it's a therefore of no condemnation. Now, Romans chapter 12. When we get to Romans chapter 12, this therefore covers a lot of ground. What did I tell you that therefore was? It means in conclusion, because of what you done seen before. In addition to what you've heard, it goes on to tell you a few of those things. Now, that therefore, telling you these things on account of everything else I've done preached to you, on the ground of what you already heard, then I want to give you something else. He said in verse number 1 of chapter 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We'll call this The therefore of service. We call it the therefore of service or obligation, if you want a big word to go with it. Amen. The therefore of service. And so we know now what's happened. Because of all that, we've got an obligation to God. If we've been justified, we've been taken out of condemnation, we've been set free, then where's something for you and I to do? We're not to go work to stay saved, but we're going to work because we are saved. So we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Now the Old Testament priest, he had to present a sacrifice for all the people. Remember that? Had to go out and hunt it. Had to get whatever it was. People bring him the sacrifice for their sin. He'd take that sacrifice and kill it and put the blood upon the altar. He'd also take that a lamb or that sacrifice and burn it for a burnt sacrifice and so on and so forth. He'd take that. Now guess what? That worked from Genesis up till Jesus come and died on the cross of Calvary. Not one of those animals ever saved anybody from their sins. Not one sin was ever removed from that person. It was only covered until Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, came and died on the cross of Calvary. And then His blood washed away all the sins. Amen. And it's the sins have been washed away. But no sin was washed away before Christ came. Only covered. Now you know that. I'm not preaching anything new. I'm just trying to remind you what you've forgotten. Guess what? When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, brother, that blood was shed, and that blood was given, and that blood has washed away our sins. Now we thank God for that. But now, what happened when Jesus came? Jesus has been the priest of all priests. Never been a priest like Jesus. Never been a prophet like Jesus. Never be a king like Jesus will be a king. Amen? I'm telling you. So when He came, He done something that the Old Testament priests could not do. They could offer a sacrifice that somebody else had. But when Jesus came, He didn't have to hunt a sacrifice. He was the sacrifice. And He willingly laid down His life. And He willingly took it up again. Amen. They did not kill Him. They did not murder Him. He gave Himself a ransom. So when you get mad at the Jews for crucifying Christ, when you get mad at the world because they turned their back on God, hey, remember this one thing. It was your sin that turned your back on Him. And that's what crucified Him. It was not Satan. It was not the world. It was not the Romans. It was not the Jews. It was you and me, sinners, that crucified Him on Golgotha's hill. Amen. You know I'm telling the truth. Now, we look at that. So what happened? Jesus became the sacrifice. First time that's ever took place. So we get into Romans chapter number 12. He said, I beseech you, therefore, that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. By the way, God don't want a dead sacrifice. Deadness won't do nothing. Amen. He's got enough of us dead sacrifices. Say amen. A dead sacrifice can't even moan and groan. That's about all they do is moan and groan. They can't say a holy hallelujah for God. They're afraid to say amen. But I want you to know, hey, I wish somebody would go out and invite Mr. and Miss Amen and Mr. and Mrs. Shouter and Mr. and Mrs. Glorifier, amen, to come in next week to the church. Somehow they've missed and left. I don't know where you run them off, or where I run them off, or whether they just feel like they're not welcome. Amen. But they've been replaced. Amen. The Mr. and Miss Shouter has left and Mr. and Miss Doubter has took their place. Amen. That's where we come to. No wonder our churches can't get nowhere. No wonder. Amen. Why, I tell you what, the birds is making a bigger sound this morning over Jesus than you were right now in this service. I heard them out there on my front porch. They build a nest out there, and that little old bird gets up on top of that nest. I don't know what he thinks he's done, but he gets up there. I mean, he's going at it. Amen. I ain't seen that birds in that. Them birds are in that nest. But he's out there chirping. He's got something going. I'll tell you, he thinks he has. And every time he's doing that little beak, just go like that. And I say, glory to God. He's glorifying God. Why don't we do a little of that? Amen. Guess what? Brother, here we find that this is the therefore of obligation or service. Now, I want you to take your Bible with me, please, and go over into the book of Psalms. I'm about through. In case you folks are worried about dinner. One good thing about it, you know I can't preach a long time anyhow. I wear out. Amen. Ain't you glad I ain't one of them old dead, dry, dull ones? They can go on for hours. Us preachers got to exert a little energy in it and think we got to romp and stomp and jump. Brother, we wear out pretty quick. Amen. 1 hour of preaching right here is equivalent, brother, most of the work that some of y'all do every day. Ain't that right, Brother Dennis? Amen. One good hard hour of preaching in the pulpit. Brother, it's about like 8 hours of some of y'all sitting at the desk drinking coffee and looking at a computer screen. Psalm 92. Psalm 92. I want us to read a little bit. He said, it is a good thing. Do you see that? It's a good thing. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. That goes right on what I was talking about. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. And to sing praises unto thy name. David said, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises to His name, O Most High. Then he said in verse 2, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Then in verse number 3, you've heard me preach on this before, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. Now, I don't know about these instruments these kids are playing. What is that in God? I can't tell you. 1, 2, 3, 6 strings on that. And one. Ooh, and that's short that he ain't got before. Amen. I mean, there's one got 4. They ain't got many strings on them. But David said, on a harp of 10 strings, the more strings, the more noise you make. Am I right? Amen. I don't want you to play it any better, but it makes noise. Well, let's just look at this a minute. Upon an instrument of 10 strings. Now, get this in your mind a minute. I'm talking about a while ago, the priest. Let's go back and talk about the priest. And keep this scripture in your mind. Now, the priest, when he got that sacrifice, of course he offered the blood, but there's those other sacrifices that he had to put that animal on the altar. And he burned it. Had that burnt sacrifice. Now, when he did that, he had to, you know, clean the insides out. He had to wash it with water and those so forth and so on. And he took the other stuff as the refuge outside the camp. But he took it and he cut that sacrifice into pieces. And as he cut that sacrifice into pieces, he laid it upon the altar. Only the priest knew how to lay that just right. As he laid it upon it, and the fire began to burn it. And as it went up, the smoke went up. And it became a great smell and savor in the nostrils of God. Does that come up before God said, I'll accept that animal and its sacrifice for their sin? God's saying that, of course, the blood is what done it. But the sacrifice, and I'm not going to get into the different sacrifices this morning. I don't have time. But look at this. What he did, he began to take them pieces. And as they burned, and sometimes they'd want to slide off a little bit. He knew how to place them at the right place. But sometimes they needed to be moved. And they had some things in the Word of God. They had what they call the flesh hooks. And that priest would take that flesh hook and replace that and put it back in there. And put it up there. So it would burn. So it would be there. So that flesh hook had to be used. Now let's look at this for a minute. Going back to Psalm 92. When you get to Psalm 92, he said upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. And I've said this before. God has given us an instrument. Our bodies are a temple of God. Is that what he said? We've got 2 eyes. We've got 2 ears. That makes 4. Amen. 4 strings. God give us 1 mouth. That gives us 5. Amen. Give us 2 hands. That's 7. Give us 2 feet. That's 9. And 1 heart. That's 10 strings on 1 instrument. So we are a 10-stringed instrument for God. Amen. We are to make melody to the Lord. Now, how are we going to do that? We've got to get it all on the altar for God. Somewhere down the course of this thing in Romans 12, 1, beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What are we to do? We're to take our 2 eyes and lay them on the altar. Said, God, help me not to see nothing but what I need to see. Help me to see You in all Your glory. Help me to read Your Word with the Word of God out of it with my eyes. Lord, help me just to look on the things of God, not the things of this world, to shun the very appearance of evil. Take my eyes and dedicate them and consecrate them, that all I can see is for Your glory. Lord, take these 2 old ears. Amen. Some of us look like we got elephant ears. You ever heard babies said they got the monkey ears? You know, they hear everything. Isn't it amazing how a kid can hear everything? Mom and daddy be a-talking, the kids are always a-listening. Amen. What makes you want to change things? That's the same thing you do down on the job. You hear the boss chewing out somebody over yonder and you're trying to hear every bit you can. Your ears ain't changed either. Amen. We try to hear gossip. Somebody be talking about the preacher. And brother, we'll listen to hear what they got to say about the preacher. Amen. To see if it's in our interest, so to speak. Amen. Then we take them two old ears. We say, Lord, don't let them hear nothing but the voice of God. Let them hear from heaven. Lord, keep us from hearing the trash of this world. Help us in our music world. Help us in everything we have in our conversation every day. Lord, help me just to listen to the throne of God. I'll tell you what, in this day in which we live, if you don't keep your head anchored and buried in that blessed book and your knees on the floor before a holy God, brother, I'll tell you, in listening to heaven and trying to view what God has to say, brother, you're going to run them up down the road. You're going to have a shipwreck down the road. You got to keep your mind and your eyes centered upon the Lord. Lord, take this old tongue. Maybe I ought not to preach on that. We ought to get all the others, but not that. Amen. If everybody brought their tongue down here and put it on the altar this morning, we wouldn't have enough altar. We would run shy of altar. Amen. I preached some time ago, and you know it's the truth. The Bible talks about it. God put two cages to put that old tongue in. He put a set of lips and a set of teeth. Now, you folks ain't got no teeth. I don't know about you, but amen. You got one cage door open. But you need to get down to business and say, Lord, take this old tongue, and may I be able, and ask God to help you. You know what happens to most of us? We are trying to think in our mind before we ever... Are we getting our... Our brain is the last thing to know, be notified. Our tongues are rattling, and we've already said too much before we ever find out what to say. Amen. We speak before we think, or we get that brain to work. We ought to take our hands and put them on the altar of God. Say, Lord, take these hands. Make them what you want them to be. Help me to do what I need to. Help my feet, Lord, to walk the way you want. You understand what I'm saying? God wants a living sacrifice out of us. And now you said, well, we need some flesh hooks. God's got them. What's the flesh hooks to keep? Hey, I put my eyes on the altar and every once in a while they get to rolling off. I put my ears on the altar and every once in a while they get to sliding off. I put my tongue on the altar and every once in a while it gets to flapping so much it wants to jump off. I put my hands on the altar. Next thing you know, they're moving. My feet, my heart. What have I got? I got to get me some flesh hooks. What have we got? God's already got them established, the Word of God. What are they? Number one is the Word of God. Number two is the Spirit of God. You take the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and God will use the preacher sometimes to give His Word and the Spirit. And brother, those two things will go out there and captivate your thinking, and God will put you back on the altar where you need to be. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Hold it separate unto God. You know what a chameleon is? I didn't say a comedian. A chameleon. And one of them little things that changes colors wherever it's at. Regardless what climate. Amen. And some of us are like that. Amen. Now, beloved, this morning I believe in shouting and praising God. But it's amazing how some people... Measure their spirituality and how much they can shout, how much they can run, and all the noise they can make. But I got news for you. It's not the noise. It's not how much a person can run, shout, and swing from the chandeliers. But it's how that heart gets in tune to give praise to God. Did you know kids love toys? The louder they are, the better they like them. I've raised three of them, and all three of my youngins, I don't know where all these things come from. I don't even know whether they still make that thing or not. But they had a little popper thing. They know what it was. One of them just mentioned it. Had a little thing on two wheels, and it's got a little ball there. You can see it, and a bunch of little balls down in the middle. Got a thing in the bottom of it. When you push it, it goes pop, 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 pop. And the faster they run, pop, 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 pop. And they're going through that. You're on the telephone. They come. I'm on the phone. Here it is. And I want to take that thing and wrap it around their neck and make a necktie out of it for a lot of them. Amen. First son come along, got that thing. The second son come along, my daughter come along. It wasn't the same one. We had to buy them. They wore them things. The louder the racket, the better they liked it. Hey, some people go to church like that. The louder the racket, the better they like it. It's not they don't measure their church and what they're getting from the preaching the Word of God. It's how much running and hollering and shouting they can do in the singing. Amen. I like to shout and run and holler. I used to like it better because I could do it better. Amen. Age has had a lot to do with that. Slowed me down. My running ain't so good no more. Amen. I'd move fast. Sometimes I feel like I'd run 100 mile an hour, but if you must have measured me, you'd said, is that all you can do? We're in the church. We're in the church. Guess what? Brother, we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Amen. That's the therefore of service or obligation. Amen. That's just touching on four of them. Ain't you glad I didn't preach on every therefore of Romans? Amen. Heads bowed. Eyes closed. I don't know your heart, but God does. I don't know your soul, but God does. I don't know what you need, but God does. I don't know where your problems are, but God does. I don't know what God is speaking to you about, but you do. And He does. And while they're getting ready to sing a song, I want you to stand. Get your red book. Turn to page 307. 307 in the red book. Amen. This altar's open to you. Would you come?